Last time, on Taverns and Caverns. The Purifiers and I return to the Emua ruins to hunt down Zaba, a Koldarian soldier. It brings me no joy returning here after what happened before, but avenging my fallen comrades is more important than anything else. We were able to traverse the first few floors of the pagoda. Unfortunately, the third floor had surprises laying in wait for us behind the walls. Small Yaksha creatures stepped forth before us, each wielding the head of a fallen comrade. Something seems off about these Yaksha, though. They aren't normal. But we cannot quit here. We fight in the name of Shimada and all of Ashai. Episode 107, Keen-Bladed Yaksha.
Welcome back to another exciting episode of Taverns and Caverns, everyone. This is your Dungeon Master, Haphazard DM. And last time on Taverns and Caverns, the party had entered the seven-story pagoda in search for a Koldarian soldier by the name of Zaba. They believe that Zaba has this bracelet that is allowing him to control the Yaksha that are working for the Koldarians here in the Emua ruins. The party had gotten through the first two floors last session, and we left off with them on the third floor with Roroi going invisible. And I don't know if he accidentally or if it was more intentionally set off a trap which opened doors along the walls, which revealed tiny, small, little Yaksha, transformed Yaksha. They could have been gnomes, halflings, possibly even children. But there were 10 of these Yaksha located between these hidden doors, and each of them have hands that are basically the shape of knives. They're not holding knives. Their hands are knives. And on the left hand, they're all holding decapitated heads of fallen Shimaran samurai. And that's basically where we left off. So thanks, Roy.
If no one saw Roy do it, since he was invisible, it never happened.
Please, we all know it was you, Roy. It don't matter if we see you or not.
Oh, yeah, we saw him let it out.
That's what you got to tell yourself to help sleep at night.
And prior to starting the session, we've already rolled for the turn order. So the turn order goes as Hota first, then Omug, followed by Roroi, Stella, and then the evil Yaksha, Ashinoruri, and Yome last. So that's the turn order. So again, all of these Yaksha are still in areas behind the walls. None of them have stepped out yet, but the doors have opened, and you all can see them because there are a couple of them along your vision of where you're currently standing. Everyone had stood back by the main entrance of the third floor while Roroi went off to investigate on his own, but he's still invisible. So the Yaksha, for all he knows, does not see him. The Yaksha is just staring directly at you, Roroi, but you can't tell if he knows you're there or not. But that is the turn order. And if I remember correctly, last time I mentioned you all heard a lock at the front door, a little click, as if the door was locked, possibly. I think I mentioned that last time. I'm pretty sure I did.
Locked behind us or locked in front of us?
Locked behind you.
All right.
The entrance door.
Yeah.
From the second floor lock. And for our listeners, if I sound a little off today, I apologize. I'm feeling a little off today. So if I do a little sniffles here and there, that's why. But anyway, so let's get this show started. So, Hota, you have the first turn in the round. What are you doing? You just see these doors slowly swing open, creaking open.
Oh, by the name of whiskey. Well, I'll tell you, I kind of knew that would happen. And I have a feeling it was a Roy. I don't know about you lot, but I think we should leave.
Omug heard door locked behind us. We might want to check.
Yeah, it's a little too late for that.
I suggest we go forward.
Roy, why you do this?
Roy's not going to answer at all.
Roy, we know it was you. We're all over here bunched up like assholes. You're the only one invisible. It had to be you.
Omug is pissed.
He's got a point, though, Roy.
Why is he not answering? He knows he done goofed up.
Oh, he ain't gonna answer.
Holta is going to try to get to the next door and try to get the hell out.
All right. So go ahead.
Let me see.
You are all on the opposite side of the room where you came in. So the opposite door is where Roy's trying to go.
I can make it about here. So
you can use your dash.
Oh, I could. That doubles movement, right?
Dash is double movement, but that takes your action. Just know that. So you won't be able to attack or anything.
Oh, they're still inside the wall, and I would be able to attack anyway. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. Just going to start dipping like Ricky Maru.
Or Hota just fucking charges through the room towards the opposite door that leads to the fourth floor.
Yep, then he's going to use a cunning action and go into hide.
How are you hiding in this open room?
How's he hiding?
Yes, what are you trying to do to hide from?
He is hugging the door, trying to become the wood.
He's trying to blend into the stone like Broxard.
Yep.
All right, roll me a hide, please.
Oh, you got it.
You better hope they don't see your ass.
Stealth. I'm up here looking for a hide check.
I'm sorry, that's what I meant, stealth, not a hide. You know what I meant.
Yeah.
All right, a 15. Well, I'll let you know if they see you when it's their turn.
All right.
All right, is that all you do?
Yep.
Hugging the wall, breathing hard, sweating.
Hugging it.
All right, next up is Omug. Omug's looking around. Omug does not like this. Fuck this shit. And he's going to step back and try and see if this door can be opened. He'll use his free action to try and grab the handle to open it. And as he does so, there's resistance. And he turns around.
Okay, it is definitely locked, guys.
And he will use an action. Actually, no, he'll move back forward to go towards where Hota went. Obviously, Omug's speed is not nearly as high as Hota's over there. All right, that'll be Omug's turn. Roy, what are you doing?
Roy is going to investigate this tomberry to see what it's going to do or if it's trying to move forward before he does an action.
Make me an investigation.
20.
Nice.
As soon as the doors opened, you're staring at this Yaksha, which is my version of a Toneberry, which is why Rod called it a Toneberry for our listeners here, for those that are fans of Final Fantasy.
Sorry. Yeah.
I love me some Toneberries, so I had to make some Yaksha Toneberries. So as you're investigating it, as soon as that door slowly creeped open, it was originally staring down at the ground, and now it's slowly shifting its eyes upwards as its head tilts up towards the door that swung open. You can see the Toneberry is slowly moving towards you. And as it's moving, it's still holding this dead samurai's head in its left hand. And as it moves, you can see it moves past you. Slowly. Well, I'll say it's going to move past you. It's not its turn yet.
Yeah.
So.
Thunder Gauntlet's away.
Oh, you going to deck the shit out of it? Okay. I'll say you have an advantage because you are invisible.
Okay.
No, it don't matter. So.
221.
221s. We'll go with the higher damage just because I'm giving it to you because you're invisible. So that's 12 thunder damage to this Yaksha in this room. So as you deck it with your fist, I just need you to know, once you do that, you go out of invisibility.
I figured, so.
Okay, just want to make sure you knew that.
Yeah.
Okay. You deck the fuck out of this Toneberry as it's beginning to walk past you, and as you do so, the Toneberry drops the samurai's head, and it flies back against one of the walls inside this small corridor. And you can see it begins to screech and explodes. Its guts and blood flying all over the room, which means onto you as well. You've killed the first Yaksha.
All right. After that, Roy is you're going to hear Roy just clap, and he's going to use his Boots of the Winding Path, and he's going to teleport back 15 feet outside the wall, like up against the wall. He was on the east side of the wall, or the west side of the wall.
Okay.
Across from Omug.
All right. Go ahead. And anything else from me before it's Stella's turn? That's an action and bonus, I believe, right?
Yeah, I couldn't do extra attack, could I? Or no? Well, actually, I didn't know about that other door, so...
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. All right, Stella, it's your turn. You see Roy is now visible. What are you doing?
Stella, looking around, very confused, seeing Hota in a strange arch shape. Seeing Roy just lay that motherfucker down is giving her some confidence because he one hit it. So thinking on her feet, this is one of my new spells. So sorry, I didn't expect to use it yet. It has no wrap, but I'm casting.
She said it has no wrap yet, bitches.
Right, look, give me some time.
Yep, give me time.
Cast Hypnotic Pattern. And if they fail, they become charmed and they are incapacitated and they have a speed of 0. They have to beat a 16.
All right. Create a twisting pattern of color that weaves the air inside a 30-foot cube within range. The pattern appears for a moment and vanishes each creature in the area. So where are you casting that? Because it's a 30-foot cube. So it won't hit everybody, but...
Yeah, so I think first I'm going to move... And then I'll do it, like right here, I guess.
Okay, so let me pull out my good old trusty ruler. So 30 feet. It's only 30 feet. So if you do it, where are you doing it? Right here.
I guess I'll do it right here.
Okay, yeah. So 30 feet will affect the two in the northwest or northeast of the room, and it'll affect two to the southeast of the room. It won't affect anyone else, though.
That's fine.
It's only a 30-foot. So they have to make a spell saving throw. It was a DC, what was it? A
16.
16 wisdom saving throw. All right. Let's go ahead and roll for these bastards. All right. The first one, we'll start with the top and go down of the four. So the first one succeeded. I rolled just enough. Second one rolled a 2. That one will fail. The third one rolled a 7. That fails. And the fourth one rolled a 19. So that one succeeds. So the two middle failed. So with that, then, with the two failing, they are charmed and incapacitated. So they can't move or do anything until the spell ends. The spell ends for an affected creature if it takes any damage or if someone else uses an action to shake the creature out of its stupor. So I'm going to put an icon. These two are basically hypnotized. They're not moving. They're not doing anything. They are going to skip their turns until someone wakes them up. All right. Good job. That's 2 out of the 9 left. That's good.
Yes.
That is helpful.
Yeah, and that's going to be my turn.
Okay. And remember, that is a concentration-based spell. So if you do get hit, you have to make a concentration saving throw to see if you keep that spell up. Or if you cast another spell, make sure it's not concentration-based because it will cancel the next or this one out. Anything else, Stella? Is that it?
That's it for this round. And she's kind of holding, you know, twingling her fingers like salami swami.
Like, no.
Salami swami.
Hypnotizing confusion.
Leaving out of this. My boy, Salami Swami.
You got the swirling black and white like circle that's going around and confusing, hypnotizing the shit out of them. Or you like Hypno over here from Pokemon. What was that Pokemon? Hypno, right?
Yep.
That motherfucker's a creep.
Oh, absolutely.
He's standing outside your window with that little pocket watch or whatever the fuck.
Yep, watching you.
All right, so It is now the Yaksha's turn. Those two are incapacitated. They're not doing shit. Roy, we'll start in your corner because you just ran in front of the other one. You run in front of it, so it sees you, Roy. You're basically blocking it from stepping out of that room. So it can't really go anywhere else because there is a shelf to the left of the room. And you see there's a sword stand to the right of it with displaying blades. So it can't really get past you unless it attacks you. So the first one will swing its blade at you or its knife. You just see it comes up towards you very slowly. These creatures are slow. They're not fast like the rat Yaksha that were swarming the ruins. These things walk terribly slow. And the first one, it just comes towards you and it looks up at you and it tries to stab you with its right hand, which is the shape of a dagger.
Oh!
Wait a minute.
I don't like the sound of that.
I don't like it either.
I don't know if this will hit you. Let me see what they're... They have plus to their... That is... I think that's going to hit you.
Yeah.
That's a 25.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
All right, Roy, you get stabbed by the first Ryan Tomberry Yaksha. Because Ryan's a punk ass bitch.
I mean, Roy deserves it at this point.
And
so.
You're going to be taking 10d4 piercing damage.
Oh my goodness.
I'll roll it on the screen. It's easier to do this than rolling in.
Oh person. My God.
22 points of piercing damage, Roy. You feel as that dagger.
You wrote four ones. I still got over 20 damage.
As that piercing dagger cuts through your armor, Roy, you feel this just shocking pain go through your entire body as it does so. These little Yaksha look like they aren't deadly at all or even much of a threat, but the hand that is in the shape of a dagger, for some odd reason, it feels 10 times worse than anything the rat Yaksha, the spider Yaksha, even the owlbear Yaksha did to you. It is intense. 22 points of damage. The next one steps out. That's next to that one. Because there's a Yaksha to the south of that, only 10 feet away. It steps out, and it looks around. And it goes for the closest one to it, which is Roy. I'm sorry, Roy. You're the closest one. It makes the most sense. They're fucking slow, so they're going to go for the ones closest to them. And it comes next to you, and it's going to attempt to stab you with its knife as well. I rolled a 20, not a crit, but a total of a 20. Will that hit
armor class is 20.
Oh, okay.
Oh my Jesus.
Oh God, I thought I was higher than that. All right, well, you will be taking 23 points of piercing damage.
You don't have any bardic inspiration die from the last fucking round.
What? Oh my God, it's for the watch. It's all right. It's for the watch.
Oh my God. All right.
Oh my God.
You wonder why my dude is hugging the wall right now? Probably watching in horror.
Jesus. I'm sorry. That's just funny. All right. So.
Chaotic.
I'm over here cracking up. I ain't even feeling good right now. Fuck. All right. So another Yaksha steps out and goes towards Ashina Ruri, and it's slowly walking. Ashina sees what happens to Roy, and she quickly looks over at the one that is coming towards her, and she preps herself for combat. She unsheathes her katana with her hand, and that will basically be that Yaksha's turn. Two of them are hypnotized, so they're not moving. So I'm going to make a roll, because Hota, you made a stealth check, and I want to see if they notice you.
Yeah, don't do that.
Ooh, I rolled bad. All right, so the Yaksha to the north that is left to the door where Hota is, it steps out of the room and it looks around. And its biggest target it sees is Omug. Hota, it doesn't even notice you.
Bead of sweat.
It starts walking past you slowly as it's holding that head. That head's dangling as you see the hair of that beheaded samurai is just being held by this creature. The samurai's head is still bleeding from the neck because I did describe there is blood scattered throughout the flooring, the wooden flooring of this room. And the next two Yaksha on the western side, I will make rolls to see if they notice you as well. And that one failed. And that one failed. Hojo, you are a lucky son of a bitch. They come out one, and they start walking towards the closest, which is Omug and Roroy. And now we have one last Yaksha that's to the eastern wall. And I'll make it roll. If it see Hota. Oh my god, I rolled a 3. Hota, you lucky son of a bitch. It's going towards Stella. All right. All right. That is their turn. It is now Ashina Ruri's turn. She sees the amount of pain that Roroy just went through. So she's going to attempt to use her new weapon. She has her ball and chain. You can see she spreads her legs out on the floor, getting a very powerful stance, bracing herself. And she swings her body as a ball and chain come from underneath the over-the-shoulder cloak that she has, where she's hiding it. And she's going to make an attack. Well, first she has to move a little closer here to do that. She'll be there. And she will swing her ball and chain, attempting to hit the son of a bitch. Because she does have a 10-foot reach with it. And you see the spiked ball hits it for 20. That will hit for 6 bludgeoning damage. And it has to make a strength saving throw. Because she is now attempting. And it failed. It rolled a 10. It needed a DC 14 strength. So on a failed save, the target becomes prone or grappled. This can only work on medium or smaller creatures. You see her long ball and chain wrap around this Yaksha as it smashes its head in, and she holds it there in place. It cannot move. So that's her turn.
Nice.
So she's keeping it from moving closer to anybody with her ball and chain. So we'll put a little net icon on that one. He cannot move because he is considered grappled. So that is her turn. It is now Yome's turn.
Well, I guess we got to cure Roroy.
I like the way that sounded. She's just like, well. I
mean, kind of understand if you don't.
Cure wounds.
Oh my god, where's your HP? I just scrolled down, saw his bar. Oh my goodness.
Kind of shitty. You got 5. That wasn't worth using. Better
nothing.
Oh, you add your... add your wisdom modifier to that. Don't forget that. Whatever your wisdom mod is.
Plus 4.
So add 4 to that. Every little bit helps, Roy.
Yeah.
Every little bit helps.
It does. I'm just glad I had so much temp HP.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
You did. It's gone now, though.
Yeah.
I'm in a tough spot, guys, because I don't have a lot of spell slots left, so I'm trying to decide if I use Spiritual Weapon. But I feel like I need to, or we're going to die.
Oh, shit. Don't worry, Hulta. Ain't gonna...
yeah, it could take some hits bounce. For us.
I just know we have a lot more levels to go, and I don't have a ton of spell slots in general.
True.
For curing, so...
I mean, we might be able to kill them and then short rest in this room.
Don't forget, you have potions.
I don't get a whole lot back on a short rest.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, none.
I only get...
I did give you guys a good amount of potions before coming, so don't forget you have those potions.
Not enough, Ryan.
Well, I'm just saying, don't forget potions.
Should I use Spiritual Weapon? Probably.
Felicia's like, fuck this room.
Well, I'm like, fuck my spell slots because I don't get that many. It doesn't feel like it because I'm already down to 1 third level spell and I'm down to 2 second level.
Ah, yeah. Yes. The pain of being a spellcaster.
I don't even feel like I'm a spellcaster. The pain of having to heal y'all.
Damn, the truth is coming out.
Yep, this room's changing this.
I'm trying to heal.
She's getting the Eddie R sweat right now.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll use spiritual weapon.
All right, where are you casting it?
How much does worst damage? What's its HP? How do I know what its HP is?
What's HP?
The bonus weapon or the spiritual
weapon.
It
doesn't really have HP. It doesn't get hit, really.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll just put it right next to me.
Right next to you?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll put it right here next to you. I'll give it a purple icon and remove the green icon so you know that's your spiritual weapon. All right. As it appears, I believe you can attack with it as it comes up.
Oh, can I?
Yeah, you might want to do that.
Yeah, I'll attack.
Before Ryan figures it out.
Yeah, before I look it up. I can never remember if you can attack with it.
Roy didn't hit either one of these, right?
No, he didn't.
Okay, so I'll just hit the one that's next to.
All right.
So it does 1d8 plus wisdom modifier.
Yeah, so just roll your club attack or whatever. It goes off the same attack as you.
Plus my wisdom modifier?
Wait, what?
Says 1d8 plus your spellcasting ability modifier. So it's a little different, okay,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so yeah, you're right. Roll a d20 plus your wisdom. That is a 9. Wait, you roll a d8. You have to hit it first.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Ooh. That's a 20. Not a crit, but that'll still do. So I'll go ahead and roll the damage again. We'll see if you get higher. We'll go with whatever's higher. I'll be nice.
Damn.
All right. 9 is the higher out. 9 versus 6. So your spiritual weapon comes out of thin air and it blasts the fuck out of this tiny Yaksha for 9 points of damage. It smashes up against the Yaksha's head and you see blood fly, this black ooze, but it slowly turns its head back towards the spiritual weapon as its eyes continue to glow red. It's not dead, but you heard it. Heard it quite a bit. All right. Is there anything else you want, or is that it? I think that's it for you.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah.
All right. Hota, it is now round 2. You see, this room is changing people.
Hota peeks over his shoulder. Y'all looking like Bravo team right now, man. So he's going to kick the door open.
Make me a strength check. An athletics check.
Well, let me see if it's actually locked or not. I just want to try to.
You're going to try and open it?
Yeah.
That'll be your free action. You go to open the door, and there is resistance. It doesn't even nudge, brother.
Oh, boy.
Well, it's locked somehow, some way.
He's probably going to try to cut a path then. Oh, this goes against my better judgment. But he's going to run behind this Yaksha and try to slash at him.
All right. You are still hidden, so you will get your advantage and your extra attack. Well, not extra attack, but your stealth damage. All right. A 23. Well, roll it twice. You might crit. You have advantage on the attack.
All right, let's see here.
All right. Not a crit, but we'll go with the 23. Roll your damage with your scimitar. 10 slashing damage plus your stealth attack.
Let me get my stealth. The sneak attack?
Yep, your sneak attack.
There we are.
For 14 additional to that 10 for a total of 24 damage. How do you kill the small Yaksha?
He just pops up like a jack in the box and just slices his throat.
All right. Go ahead. Sorry.
I hope I said I do have something where I can transfer my sneak attack, half of it, to the next one within 30 feet.
Damn.
Give me a second. I'm getting the name for it.
Yeah, what is that called?
Wells from the Grave? Yep. Wells from the Grave. Here it is. There you go.
Let's see. Yeah, to the grave, you can channel the power of death to harm someone else as well. Immediately after you deal your sneak attack damage to a creature on your turn, you can target a second creature that you can see within 30 feet of the first creature. Roll half the number of sneak attack dice for your level round up, and the second creature takes necrotic damage equal to the rolls. All right, so you'll roll half of your sneak attack damage. Let me see here.
But round it up.
Yep. Roll so half two. The number. All right. Yes. Yeah, so roll me 2d6.
There you go.
For 8 sneak attack damage to the Yaksha that's closest to the one you just dropped. That's a pretty good amount of damage. 8. You can see as you do this, your whales from the grave, you're able to, I don't even know, describe how this even works. How mm-hmm. this attack even works.
So after I slice the throat of this Yaksha, a entity that looks sharp, ethereal, immediately transfers from his throat to the other Yaksha.
God damn.
And slashes.
I just see Lord of the Rings, the third movie with those ghosts charging.
Kind of like that.
As it does so, the second Yaksha to your left there, I should say technically it's to your right, you're facing south. It is damaged and it slowly turns and looks at you, confused of what just hit it, but it now sees you.
He kind of cringes back.
Anything else, Hota?
No, this is it.
All right, it's Omug's turn. And Omug looks over.
Oh my goodness. Okay, it's Omug time.
And Omug's going to come around to Yome and Roroi's right to kind of block the Yaksha from getting to them. And he's going to attack the north Yaksha of the one next to Roroi and Yome. And let's go ahead and roll Omug's attack. He gets 2.
So, have you ever wanted to start your own podcast and just had no clue on where to begin? Fear not, for we at Taverns and Caverns are here to help you. Before we began the Taverns and Caverns podcast, we originally had a few members who wanted to learn the game of Dungeons and Dragons. With 3 of the 4 players being new to the game, we decided to make a podcast of it just for fun and to possibly encourage others to try the game for themselves. Starting a podcast can seem daunting, but we're here to tell you that it can be simple with an all-in-one tool. It's now super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. Log in using your browser and start recording a high-quality podcast right away. Record studio-quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of Zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. If you have thought about podcasting before and realized that you need a lot of different tools and services, those days are now over, my friend. With Zencastr's all-in-one podcasting platform, you can create your podcast all in one place and distribute to Spotify, Apple, and other major destinations. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use my code TavernsCaverns, and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. I want you to have the same easy experience as I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story. And with that, let us continue our campaign.
That is an 18 and a 24. Both will hit. The first does 8 slashing damage, and the second does 14 slashing damage. So 22 total damage there to that Yaksha. You see Omug's glaive comes and sweeps the head off of this small Yaksha as it flies to the center of the room.
Damn.
That Yaksha is gone. Now, are you guys noticing a pattern here of certain things? These very strong Yaksha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Don't let him touch you. It's Contra.
Omug takes one out. He goes, okay, that's one more down. Let's go. All right, Roroi. You're up.
All right. The one that's still in the doorway.
Yep.
Is going to attack it.
A 23 will hit for 6 thunder damage. It's not dead. But you deck it in the face and it slowly looks back up at you.
Repeat. 17?
17 will hit for 8 more thunder damage. How do you kill that one?
He basically just takes his fist over his head and just kind of just does the smash, the Hulk smash, whatever.
Goddamn. Roroi smash.
Yep.
All right. And that one goes and drops to the ground. However, there is one next to you that's still up that Yome's spiritual weapon hit. But that's both your attacks, so I don't think you have any more, do you?
No more attacks, but he will go ahead and touch his armor again and do the enhanced defense to give myself temporary HP. Oh, defensive field as a bonus action.
Okay.
Gives me temporary HP equal to my level, current right. level.
Sweet. Okay, so you gain temporary HP.
All right.
Nice.
Do you move anywhere or do you stay there?
He's staying there.
All right, Stella, it's your turn. You still have those two hypnotized, but there is one that sees you, and it's coming towards you. And behind you is Ashinaruri battling the other, but she has that one technically grappled with her ball and chain. What are you doing?
I'm going to move back one. I'm going to try to save some spell slots, and I'm just going to shoot it with my crossbow, the one right in front of me.
Okay. Oh, the one that's walking towards you?
What the fuck? Okay.
This one here?
Yeah.
Okay. So you rolled a 14 on your crossbow. Unfortunately, the 14 will miss. It does not hit the Yaksha.
Damn.
As the bolt flings from your crossbow, you see that small Yaksha lift up its left hand, and your bolt pierces the eye socket.
I'm going to add a bardic inspiration die to that.
Damn.
Okay.
And that's going to add an... Okay.
D6?
D8. Or... It's a D8 because okay. we're fifth level now.
All right, cool, cool. Roll D8 for me, see if that helps. Hopefully it does.
Yeah, all right. I don't even know what I need to hit.
A 3 plus the 4, so that's 17 total. That will hit.
Yeah. Nice.
All right. So for, I'll let you decide. Do you want to reroll that damage or do you want to go with that damage you have there?
Oh, no. Let's reroll.
Hmm?
Okay.
Fuck. Greedy.
From an 8 to 5. So the bolt damage will deal 5 points of damage as you are able to hit the Yaksha. It glares at you. Anything else, Stella?
Nope. That was my bonus action.
All right. The other two are still hypnotized. They're not going to be moving at all. That was a good move on Stella's part. Keeping two at bay.
Yeah.
Hota, the one that saw you, that you attacked with, it's coming towards you.
Isn't that a big fella?
It slowly turns its body and it slowly creeps towards
you. Sorry, I know my turn's over. Can I still use my movement?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, 5, 10, 15, 20. I'm going to move and give Hota advantage on this one. I'm going to move within 5 feet of it. So, wait, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. Hey.
Oh.
Yeah, give him...
All right, so that won't help him defensively, but offensively, it should.
Mm-hmm.
It's attacking you, Hota. Brace yourself. It goes to stab you. That is going to be a 21 total.
Oh, yeah, it hits.
Oh, all right. You're also going to feel the pain, that shocking pain that Roroy unfortunately did as well, for 10d4 damage, piercing. 25 piercing damage. You feel the shock of that small blade as it guts you. You can look at, you look down and down at, the, or the, sorry, you look down at that Yaksha and it looks like it's grinning as it's trying to turn its hand while the blade is inside you. For 25 piercing damage.
Stella's jaw drops as she just moved into some crazy shit.
All right. Cool. Next Yaksha, the one that was shot by the bolt. It watches Stella run across the room to help Hota, and it begins to follow you, Stella.
Mm-hmm.
However, they're slow. They don't have great movement. So he walks towards you and Hota. The one that is grappled by Ashina, it's going to attempt to break out of the grapple and doing two rolls here. Ashina, whoops, not action surge, but Ashina's athletics versus its strength. And it fails. So it's still grappled. It can't break out. Can't move. So the one next to Roroy, Yome and Yome's spiritual weapon, It already attacked you once, Roy. It's going to attack you again.
No.
Oh, God.
Oh!
That don't sound good. Don't sound like you missed either.
He always do the ludicrous.
Yo.
Oh, lights out. I'm about to punch you. Lights out.
All right. I'm sorry. I know this is going to hit you, Roy. You know why I know it's going to hit you?
Give me the damage.
Crit. It's a crit.
Oh, my God.
Oh, fuck.
Oh! 45!
With 7 ones?
The fuck? It crit you, brother. That's how I knew it was going to hit. So you take 20d4 damage.
Oh, my God.
45 points of piercing damage. I'm sorry, Roy.
Man.
I'm sorry!
Roy is down.
Roy, you feel intense pain as it stabs you for a second time, and it begins to twist that dagger in your gut, and it slowly chuckles. Yome, you can hear it chuckling as it's twisting its blade inside of Roy. Roy falls to the ground unconscious. And Yome, you being right next to this, you see that Yaksha drops the left head of the samurai, or the left head. Its left hand drops the head of the samurai, and it moves on to Roy, and it's going to try and decapitate Roy next.
He tripped.
Somebody should probably stop that.
It slowly climbs onto Roy with its head, or with its hand slowly going towards his neck. So yeah, he's now on top of Roy.
He a freak. Someone stop him.
He's a freak.
He's a freak. Super freak.
Oh, man.
That is the Yaksha's turn. It is now Ashinaruri's turn. Ashinaruri, with her ball and chain, she's going to pull it away and attempt to attack him again. This will free his movement, but she does not want to get close to it. She wants to keep her distance because it can't attack her at a 10-foot reach. So she's going to swing her ball and chain again. She's trying to fight it smart. So.
Yikes.
Oh! That's going to miss, but she gets two attacks because she is a fighter or a samurai. There we go. The second one will deal damage. It will deal 5 bludgeoning damage, and she's going to attempt to grapple it again. So let me have it make a strength saving throw. Oh, and it failed terribly. That is a 3. It is grappled again.
Mm-hmm.
He's keeping this one at bay. We're just helping you guys.
Yep.
Thank God the other two are hypnotized, because Jesus Christ.
Oh, man.
All right, Yome, it is your turn. You see this little tomeberry Yaksha just climbed on top of Roy's chest. It's going to decapitate him. What do you do?
Whack it. I miss.
That is a 10. Unfortunately, that will miss.
Okay, my spiritual weapon whacks it.
Oh! That's an 11. That will miss as well.
I do nothing then. Surprise.
I don't want to alarm anybody, but Ryan didn't say anything about death saves. He said decapitation.
Well, I tried. Twice.
Well, I tried. Sorry, Roy.
I don't know what else I'm supposed to do.
Well, with 10 and 11, unfortunately,
Omug has
a 10. Omug's there too. The spiritual weapon and Yome unfortunately will miss with a 10 and 11. As you swing at that Yaksha on top of Roy's chest, I'm going to describe it as you missing because you're trying not to hit Roy. But as you and the spiritual weapon swing at it, it jumps and ducks over your attacks while it's jumping on top of Roy's chest like he's a trampoline. Ota, or do you move anywhere, Yome? Or do you stay there?
I'll stay here.
All right. Ota, it is your turn. You have advantage on this Yaksha if you attack it due to Stella being there. But that one is also coming towards you and Stella that she shot with her crossbow.
I have something that can help Roy, and I can still attack because I can use my bonus action. But I just won't be able to sneak attack. So I probably have to kill this guy in one go.
All right.
So we're gonna go ahead and slash with all our heart and might.
Which one? The one next to you?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so you have advantage.
Well, let's roll and see if we get a crit.
All right, we'll take the 27.
Yep.
Or your damage with a sneak attack. All right. So that's 9 slashing damage. I'll tell you right now, the slashing damage, you don't even need the sneak attack. It kills the Yaksha. How do you kill that one?
Slices him in half and immediately goes into, he starts doing some Kujin, looking like Ricky Morrow again. And he's going to use the help action, hospitality, on Roroy.
Okay, and what's that do?
Give me 1 second. There you go. I help him. He gets temporary hit points based on my proficiency bonus. So, and that is going to be, let's see. Let me get my advanced dice.
1d6 plus your proficiency.
There it is. You get 5, and I get 5.
All right, Roy, you feel yourself temporarily waking up with 5 temporary hit points.
Being straddled.
Yep, you see this thing on top of you going for your neck.
It's the best I can do right now. It's barely being decapitated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it for my turn.
Let's see here. So, all right. No, I just looked something up because I wasn't sure about this rule. So, if you have 0 hit points, receiving temporary hit points doesn't restore you to consciousness or stabilize you. They can still absorb damage directed at you while you're in the state.
Oh.
Only true healing can save you.
Oh!
So he can technically take damage still up to 5. That will keep him from taking 2 failed death saves if he does get hit. But he's not conscious. But you do have 5 temporary hit points. All right. I had to look that up. So that was a good call on Hota's part, but I wasn't sure if temp HP brought someone back.
Me neither.
But it looks like that's what the rule is here. So,
Yeah,
temp HP is not real HP. So, yeah, it's kind of like, all right, okay, I got it. All right, Hota, do you move anywhere after killing that?
Yeah, he's going to move in between Stella here so it can't get to her.
Okay, so you're standing in front of the other Yaksha that Stella shot. All right, yep. Is that it?
Yep.
Omug's turn. Omug looks over at Hota and sees that you just dispatched that one, but he knows Roy's in trouble.
Don't worry, Roy. I won't make fun of you this time. I'm coming to save.
And he's going to swing at the Yaksha on top of Roy twice to try and save you, Roy. Because this Yaksha has been hit by Yome's spiritual weapon. Thank God. He swings twice. The first attack is an 18, and the second is a 19. Both will hit.
Oh, yeah.
Get off him.
Yep. So you see for 7 plus 15 slashing damage, Omug takes his glaive and he just fucking, he's like, the Yaksha's like a golf ball. He just knocks the Yaksha off of Roy and it goes flying south against the wall, exploding as it drops to the ground dead. Omug looks down at the unconscious Roy.
Oh, don't worry. I said I won't make fun of you. But this time, you're safe from me.
And he's going to walk to the eastern part of the room because Ashinaruri is technically by herself and there's 2 that are still hypnotized. So he's going to make his way that way. All right. Roy, make me a death saving throw because you're still technically unconscious.
Yep.
Now you can use a help action.
Fuck.
Oh, that's a 3. So that's a failed death save. So remember, you don't technically have to use a spell or a potion to heal Roy. You can use your action to use the help action to stabilize him. If you want to avoid using spells or potions, just throwing that option out there. You can use the help action. Yes, you can. So Roy, you failed your first death saving throw. So that's your turn. Stella. It is now your turn. What are you doing?
Yeah, that's a spell slot. I'm going to do that. So, yeah, I'll go ahead and take that advice and go over there and use the help action on Maroy.
All right.
And she kind of lifts his head up
All right, enough making it about you. Come on.
All right, so 1 second. So go ahead and make me a medicine check real quick because you're attempting to stabilize him. Okay. Just want to see how well you pull this off. All right, so you rolled, what do you have, 7?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so as you go to stabilize him, let's see here. Do you have a healer's kit on you by any chance?
No.
Because you have to have a 10 to stabilize him with your help action.
Why, you didn't say that.
Mm.
Right, I would just use healing word, Ryan. Man. Cheeks.
I'll let you use healing word if that's what you want to do. But yeah, you have to have a 10 to stabilize someone on a medicine check.
Man, I really don't want to use that spell slot, actually. I'm going to use a potion. So one of my regular ones, 2d4 plus 2. So 5, another 5. And then she kind of puts it in his mouth, only to the lips, though. She doesn't, like, try to make you deep throat it. She's being very gentle.
You used a cure light potion or whatever?
Yeah,
or potion. All right, yeah. add a 2 to that. So
yep, it's only 5.
Yep, so for 5. Roy, you are now conscious for 5 HP. And you still have 5 temporary HP.
Okay.
You'll right. be back with us?
Mommy.
You got
my tum-tum purse. I don't want to go to school today.
Yeah, you got hit fucking hard.
Sorry, Roy.
Oh, it's deserved.
Anything else, Stella?
She looks around her at the pile of bodies and she, you know, looks over at the two that are hypnotized and puts her salami swami fingers back out.
I gotta get back to work.
Wow, and that's her turn.
Okay. It's 2 Yaksha, or there's technically 4 left, but 2 are still hypnotized. The one coming towards you, Hota, is still coming.
All right. Goes to stab you.
That is a 15 plus its attack. So that's going to be a total of a 23.
Damn. Yeah, he hits.
All right. Hota, brace yourself.
Get the calculator.
It will deal 28 mm-hmm. points of damage.
Oh, my Jesus. Oh!
What'd you say about the Bravo team again?
We looking like Bravo team, man. This is a Spencer Mansion. This is a hood, ain't it?
It stabs you for 28 points damage. It looks like you're still up, though, which is good. And it pulls its dagger out of you as it draws blood, and it just looks up at you, grinning. The other one that's grappled, it's going to try to escape. Oh, my God. It cannot escape. I rolled pretty high for it, you know, new roll. Yeah, it's not escaping. It's still stuck. She's got it held in place. And the other two are still hypnotized. It's now Ashina's turn. She's going to do the exact same thing. She's going to pull her ball and chain away and swing at it again. 2 times. 1 will hit for 7 bludgeoning damage as she swings the ball. It wraps up against it again, and the ball just crushes in the skull of that Yaksha, and it falls to the ground, dead.
Good.
And as it does so, she looks over at everyone else, and then at the two that are hypnotized. She's going to try and get somewhat going to walk over here. All right. She goes to one of the hypnotized Yaksha, but she can't do anything on her turn. It is now Yome's turn. Yome's like, fuck.
Up to the one that's by Hota and try to hit it.
Good luck.
Yeah, I can't. I can only move my spiritual weapon 20 feet, so.
Yeah, spiritual weapon's slow.
It ain't going nowhere, but it'll
still
be
move it
with
just
me
in
too.
Case. Okay. Oh! Nice. That was it. Your Mace of Thunder swings, and you're able to hit this one. Deal your damage for a total of 14 8 bludgeoning damage plus 6 thunder. How do you kill this Yaksha?
Smash its brains in.
Smashed it in with your debate club. Your upgraded debate club.
Spoken like a true priestess.
It is smashed in as its blood, its black thick ichor of blood just flings everywhere around you and Hota. It drops to the ground with a smashed skull. Hota, you see Yome just bash this thing in. What are you doing?
He wipes his mouth off. Oh, well, nice going, Yome. Thanks for the assistance. If you don't mind, he's going to pop a potion.
He said, let me drink this shit.
Chew the cork off, and he ain't stellar, man. He's stuffing the potion down his throat, Linda Lovelace style, man. So he's going to use his common healing potion.
Okay.
4 plus 2.
Are you actually considered undead?
No. They are not.
Oh, yeah. That's the stuff, baby.
Yeah, 10 HP. No, Yaksha are not undead. Thank God, because if they were considered undead, Virus might be trying to use them.
And that is my turn.
All right.
Well, better yet, yeah, it's my turn. I ain't going to go nowhere.
All right. It is now Omug's turn. And again, for the listeners, as Felicia asked, the Yaksha are not undead. They're considered corrupted people or creatures that have been corrupted by the god of the void known as Moritai. So technically, the person is dead, but they're not truly dead. They're just corrupted from the power of Moritai. So Omug's turn goes, and he looks around. He looks over at Stella.
Stella, do you want us to attack the hypnotized ones or leave them as is?
Destroy them.
As her fingers continue to wiggle.
Omug, salute you.
Yes, ma'am. Omug, smash.
And Omug, he runs and charges towards the one next to Ishinoruri that's technically still at the entrance of the doorway, and he's going to swing his glaive with all his might. He has advantage because this thing is technically considered quote unquote asleep, hypnotized, or whatever you want to call it. So I'll roll twice for his first attack. Oh, he missed. Second, he's got a crit though on his second attack.
Nice.
So his damage for this, oh, 13 plus 5 with his second attack. So total of 18 damage. He swings his glaive and he stabs this Yaksha and shoves it up against the wall, holding it there as the blood oozes out of his chest. It is dead.
He bum rushed him like the juggernaut.
He did.
I'm the juggernaut, nice. Bitch.
All right, that's Omug's turn. He looks back at Stella.
I did good, yes?
Woo-hoo, yeah.
One more to go.
You skewered his ass.
I did. Oh, ho, ho.
All right, Roy. You're still on the floor. What are you doing?
Roy's going to stand up, holding his gut. He's going to move towards the last one. I know he can only move 15 feet. So he's going to do that. And he's not saying a word. He's just going to cast Firebolt.
Oh, 17 will hit. Nice. 18 fire damage. God damn. All right. That will hit for 18 damage. So how do you kill that Yaksha that's asleep?
He just takes his
right
gauntlet and just aims it. And he mumbles under his breath, burn, motherfucker, and shoots the firebolt at it.
You see it quickly snaps out of the hypnotic state, and it's screaming in pain as it drops to the ground, burning to a crisp. And as it does so, you have all vanquished the 10 Tomberry Yaksha. Congratulations.
Side-eyeing Roy, man.
So here's across the room. So for our audience, obviously these are custom built creatures. The thing that makes them strong is obviously they hit you. They deal 10d4 piercing damage. They have a +8 to their attack, but they only get one attack. They don't have extra attack, thank God. And their movement is very slow. They only have 15 feet movement, and their HP is only 12. The thing that makes them somewhat difficult is their AC is higher, which is a 17. So they're challenging, but they have low HP, so they're not too hard to kill as long as you can deal damage to them. The trick with these guys is keeping your distance because they have a slow movement. It's just when you're outnumbered by them, it makes it difficult.
Oh, yeah, done.
Thanks again for listening to another exciting episode of Taverns and Caverns, everyone. If you enjoyed our shenanigans, we ask that you please leave us ratings and reviews on Apple iTunes or any other podcast platform that you use. Also, please be sure to check out the Taverns and Caverns Patreon for exclusive content that you won't want to miss. You can find me on Twitter at HaphazardDM.
Yo, I'm Bri. I play Stella. And you can follow me on Twitter at Blaze_NancyBriKing. Or NBK.
I am Robert Jones, and I played Hota Lu Bei. You can find me on YouTube, Trubone, TRUBONE.
I'm Felicia, and I play Yome. You can find me on Insta or Twitter at Dagger Tribal.
I'm Rodimus, playing Roroi Rice. You can find me on Twitter at Rodimus7901 or at Instagram at Rodimus83.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone. Those are all of our players and our cast members for Taverns of the Cavern Season 2. Until next time, take care.